So Ephesians chapter 3, and we're going to read the whole chapter. So Ephesians 3, beginning at verse 1, it says, "For this cause I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ for you Gentiles, if ye have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God which is given me to you ward, how that by revelation he made known unto me the mystery, as I wrote afore in a few words, whereby when ye read ye may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ, which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men, as it is now revealed unto his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit, that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs and of the same body and partakers of his promise in Christ by the gospel, whereof I was made a minister according to the gift of the grace of God given unto me by the effectual working of his power. Unto me who am less than least of all saints is this grace given, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ, and to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world hath been hidden God, who created all things by Jesus Christ, to the intent that now one of the principalities and powers in heavenly places might be known by the church, the manifold wisdom of God, according to the eternal purpose which he purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord, in whom we have boldness and access with confidence by the faith of him. Wherefore I desire that ye faint not at my tribulations for you, which is your glory. For this cause I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named, that he would grant you, according to the riches of his glory, to be strengthened with might by his Spirit in the inner man, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, that ye, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, and to know the love of Christ which passeth knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. Unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Amen." Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we just thank you for your word. We thank you for this mystery that you have not kept hidden, but you have shared, and you want us to share to as far and as broad as we can. We just pray that you would bless today as we consider this, and just all that you want to impart to us, that we would learn and put it into practice, and so we could see you do your work in us. We ask this all in Jesus' name. Amen. And so today we come to what is our final message in what has been a year-long series on the heart matters. And it's the idea that we've looked at. We have to realize issues that we struggle with in life, they always start in our hearts. We might be struggling with a broken heart. We might be struggling with a wandering heart. We might be struggling with a fearful heart, or even one that's been deceived. And God knows our hearts, and he loves us, and he wants to help us. And he's dedicated to doing a work in our hearts, to heal them, to cleanse them, to make them new. And really, we see that it's a fulfillment of a promise that he made to the Jewish people, and it's a promise that we Gentiles as well can share in by his grace. I'll just read that to you. This is Ezekiel chapter 36, verses 25 to 27. It says, "Then will I sprinkle clean water upon you, and ye shall be clean. From all your filthiness and from all your idols will I cleanse you. A new heart also will I give you, and a new spirit will I put within you. And I'll take away the stony heart out of your flesh, and I'll give you an heart of flesh. And I will put my spirit within you, and cause you to walk in my statutes, and ye shall keep my judgments and do them." And so that's what he wants for us, that he sees our hearts, how they've been corrupted by sin, and he wants to cleanse and make them new, make them clean. So it is what we refer to as his work of sanctification, where he's cleansing us. And it's a work that when we first trusted in Christ, that he began that work, and it's a work that he continues with us all the way through our lives until one day we pass away into eternity. And so this process that he has of sanctification, it's not really an easy one, because it is, as we've looked at, it's a purifying process. that where there's things that have to kind of be worked out of us. And we learned last week it's actually even a crucifying process, that there's things within us that have to die in order for him to really have his life live through us. And so for that to happen, it's necessary for us to go through trials, tribulations, and testing, even suffering. And when that happens, if we don't understand what's going on and why, we can get frustrated, we can get bitter. But we have to realize it's all for our good, that all these things work together, and we realize God's doing a work because there's a work to be done. We might think, oh, I'm doing pretty good, but God is saying, okay, there's other areas I want to work in you for your own good. There's things that are hurting you, hurting those around you, and so I want to help you with those. And so we want to realize that he's doing that, and it's for our good, and it's so that we could one day be conformed to Christ's image. And that's God's ultimate plan and goal for us. And with all of this, we want to realize that there's a lot of things God wants to take out of our lives, and the reason is because he's making room for something else. It's necessary that we be emptied because there's so much that he wants to fill us with. We've considered some of that already. We think of how he wants us to be full of his joy, full of his peace, full of his mercy and his love. But more than that, what we want to focus on today is that he wants us to be full of himself. And Paul here speaks of a mystery that had been hidden that now was being revealed. And we think of it that there was kind of hints of it in the Old Testament, but now it was made plain when Jesus came and laid everything out. And so now he's, as it was given to Paul, this was something that he saw, this is too good for me to keep to myself. I got to share this to as many people as I can. And so he wrote this and he's sharing it to the Ephesians. And of course wanting them to share it with others too. And it's this idea that he's talking about of this, what we're partaking of, what we've inherited since we trusted in Christ, and these riches that we have in Christ. And that's something that really a lot of times we have very little understanding of, that we focus mostly on the idea, okay, well, I trust in God, I trust in Jesus for my salvation, I'm on my way to heaven, that's settled. And that's kind of the beginning and end of my Christianity, right? But we want to realize there's so much more God has for us, so much more he wants to share with us. And there's this eternal purpose that it speaks of in verse 11, this purpose which he purposed in Christ Jesus our Lord, that he came for a reason. And yes, it was to die for our sins so that we could be forgiven, could have spend eternity in heaven with him rather than in hell, but there is much, much more that he wants to share with us. And so we see Paul's prayer at the end of this passage of how he talks about this idea of being, he wants, this is God's prayer for the Ephesian believers, that they would be strengthened, verse 16, with might by his Spirit in the inner man, that in places of weakness that they would find strength in the Holy Spirit of God. And then he says that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith. And so Christ would be within them. And then that they would be rooted and grounded in love, that they would know God's love for them and live based on that truth of knowing that they're loved, knowing that they're accepted in the Beloved. And then it's verse 18, it talks about that they may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth and length and depth and height, that there's this vast expanse to be explored for us as believers, to be understood, to grab hold of, to take possession of. That it's kind of the thing for many of us, it's like we only really understand one small part of this huge this huge territory that is ours in Christ. And he wants us to be able to explore it and actually go to the limits and find just how limitless it is in so many ways, that we want to almost test that out and see how far does it go. And so often it goes so much farther than we would imagine. And then he says, and that ye would know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge, that we would know God's love for us and be able to know how to love others the same way. And then he says as well that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. And so it's this thought that God wants to fill us with his fullness. And he doesn't want us to miss in on anything about him. And so we want to realize that there's so much that he wants to share with us. So much that he wants to impart to us. It says in 1 Corinthians 2, 9 and 10, it says, as it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither have entered in the heart of man the things which God hath prepared for them that love him. Then it says, verse 10, but God hath revealed them unto us by his Spirit. And so he wants to share these things, and it's beyond anything we could ever imagine. We think of in the Old Testament of how the Queen of Sheba came to see the glory of the kingdom of Solomon, and she was so amazed by it, and she said that, well, I thought that I was just hearing exaggerations of this, that it wasn't as fancy as everybody thought said that it was. But she came and says, the half was not told me. And that's how it is with the things of God, that we hear what it says and we think, well, it can't be that good. And then we actually understand it, it's actually way better than we imagine. And so we want to realize that. But how do we have these things revealed to us? It's revealed to us by His Spirit. And so the way it works is that when we first trust in Christ, the Spirit of God, and God is a trinity of God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. And so the third part, the Spirit of God, actually comes to dwell within our hearts. We see that in 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 21 and 22, where it says, now he which establisheth with you in Christ and hath anointed us is God, who hath also sealed us and given the earnest of the Spirit in our hearts. And so we have the Spirit dwelling with us, and that word earnest, it has the idea of a down payment, where the Spirit is basically where he's purchased us, and giving us the Holy Spirit is the down payment. And so if you think that the Holy Spirit is the down payment, how great must be the full inheritance that we're going to receive. And so the Spirit dwells in our hearts. We see that as well in Galatians chapter 6, where it says, or Galatians chapter 4 rather, says, when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth His Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. And because ye are sons, God has sent forth the Spirit of His Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. And so it's the idea that we have God's Holy Spirit within us, and we can be certain that He's present within us, that He actually gives witness to that fact. It speaks of that in Romans chapter 8:16, that the Spirit bears witness with our spirit that we're the children of God. And what we want to understand is that the Holy Spirit does not simply want to just dwell in us. He wants to fill us. And that's why we see in Ephesians 5:18, where it says, be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but instead be filled with the Spirit. And so when we see that phrase, we want to understand, what does it mean to be filled with the Spirit of God? And first off, we want to understand, to be filled with the Spirit of God, we have to know that the Holy Spirit is not a force, but a person. That we want to understand that, because sometimes we think of it that it's just kind of this kind of weird kind of power that we can have, that we can use, almost kind of like Luke Skywalker and Yoda and different things, that we can kind of claim this and learn how to operate it, but it doesn't work that way. That the Holy Spirit is a person, that He lives within us, and of course He's God. That a lot of times we think, okay, well, this is a power I want to use for my purposes, but I realize, well, no, this is a person, and He wants to use me for His purposes. And so we want to understand it in that way, that it's different. It's not something we use. It's something instead that He wants to use us. And so when we understand the filling of the Holy Spirit of God, it's not a question of how much we have of God, because when He comes in, it isn't like we get one small chunk of God and then as we do better we get another big chunk, because you can divide up a force and have more or less of it, but you can't cut up a person. And so we have all that we have of the Holy Spirit, and it's not a question of how much we have of Him, but really of how much He has of us. And so it's like this, that when we get saved, we invite Jesus into our heart, is what we think of. And He comes in and we give Him a place to stay. We might even give Him the best room in the house. But then He kind of looks around, well, what's in these other rooms? He's like, oh, please don't go in there. I don't want you to see that. There's a few too many skeletons in that closet. And there's just different places where it's like we don't really want to let Him in. And those places really are strongholds of sin and selfishness. That we want to help Him with different things in life, but we still want to have control over our life. And we read of the power of the Spirit and what it does in the Bible and how it helps people, and we want that. But a lot of times it's so that we can accomplish our own purpose, we can fulfill our own goals for our life, we can make life easier for us. And so this Holy Spirit tries to work with us and tries to say, okay, this area I want to deal with. I want to help you in this. There's things in there that need to go because I can really change things and make life better for you. But a lot of times we hold back, and when we do so, we miss out. And it's the thing, as long as we refuse and we procrastinate, that's when we find ourselves struggling, we find ourselves weak, we find ourselves defeated. And our life is not as fruitful and abundant and victorious as it could be, or as it should be. But it's as we learn, as we looked about last week, to crucify our flesh with the affections and its lusts. As we kick self off the throne and we let the Spirit of God take its place, and it's as we determine to allow the Spirit to have the run of the place within us, that He's the one in charge, and then He fills our hearts, then that is when our lives are fundamentally transformed. And this idea of being filled with the Spirit of God, filled with all the fullness of God, we want to understand it's a difference a lot of times between fruitlessness and fruitfulness, where we try to do things and nothing comes of it, and instead when He's with us that things happen and things go far better than we ever thought before. It's a difference between a redundant life where we're kind of we're trying to do the best we can, we struggle, we fail, we ask for forgiveness, then we try again to do the best we can, struggle, fail, ask for forgiveness instead, where we learn to walk in His strength, walk in His power, and we can have victory. And we can take another step and have victory. That it isn't just back and forth, three steps forward, two steps back, that we can make real progress. And it can be the difference between a life of defeat and a life of triumph. And He doesn't just want us just to trust in Him to go to heaven when we die. That's the first step. But there's so much more He wants to share with us. Really, He wants us to experience heaven on earth. He wants to share Himself with us. We don't have to wait to get to heaven before we experience God firsthand, that we can experience Him in our lives right now as He walks with us and as He works within us and manifests Himself. And so we want to understand just a few different things as we consider this thought of being filled with the Spirit, filled with the fullness of God. We see, first of all, that with God's fullness comes His power. Ephesians chapter 3:16, it talks about how that we might be strengthened with might by His Spirit in the inner man. That we want to understand that there is a power that is available to us, a power to able to have victory over sin, a victory over bad habits that we have, victory over just the struggles of life, that we can't do it in our own strength. But He offers us His power through His Holy Spirit that we can have. It talks about the idea in Ephesians chapter 1, verses 19, he wants us to know what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead. That's the idea, that the same power that was able to raise Jesus Christ from the dead, he wants us to experience that same power in us, that really to raise us from our dead works to serve God in newness of life. That he wants us to experience that. He wants to use it so that we can be sustained by it, that we can go through difficulties and not stumble and fall. That it there's a passage in Isaiah chapter 41, I believe it is, or 40. And it says this, "Hast thou not known, hast thou not heard, that the everlasting God, the Lord, the Creator of the ends of the earth, fainteth not, neither is weary? There is no searching of his understanding. He giveth power to the faint, and to them that have no might he increaseth strength. Even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall, but they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings as eagles, they shall run and not be weary, and they shall walk and not faint." And that's what we want to understand with the Holy Spirit, that we can have that. And even though that we try in our own strength and we just find, I can't handle this anymore, I can't take this anymore, I'm exhausted mentally and physically and emotionally, that when he fills us, that we find that we have the strength, that we know it's not from us, it's from somewhere else. And in the midst of the trial, we don't falter and fail, that we have the power to move forward and keep doing what's right. And it's so incredible to experience that when we find that. Whereas before, we just always met with defeat, where suddenly something happens outside of us, outside of our own power and strength, that gives us the victory. And so that's what he wants to impart to us. And he wants us to learn that. And just the idea, too, that we would have the power and the boldness to be able to speak. A lot of times we try to share faith, we try to tell others about him, and we're scared about it, we're worried about it, but instead he helps us to have boldness that we can tell others and so that they can come to know him as Savior as well. And so we think with his fullness comes his power as well. With his fullness comes his love. And that's the idea that talks about that we can be rooted and grounded in love, verse 17 of Ephesians 3, and that we would know the love of Christ which passeth knowledge. That that we would really understand, that we would really have that appreciation of God's love for us, that can be really the foundation of our whole life, that we know, even though we fail, even though we struggle, that he loves us and he's never going to stop loving us. And he's going to do whatever he can to help us because he loves us. And knowing that love ourselves, that if we've received it, then the Lord teaches us how to love him with all our heart, soul, and mind. And then to love our neighbor as ourself. That's something we didn't really, in our own strength and who we were, we didn't have that capacity to love as we really wanted to. That we'd try to show love to people, but it was always with selfish motives. I'm going to love you if you love me back. And if I get something out of this deal. But instead, as we learn to love as he loved, that we love even if we never receive anything in return. Even if someone is our enemy and hates us and is cruel to us, that we can still show love to them. That's something that doesn't come from within us. It comes from God sharing himself with us. And so it's learning to love as Christ loved us and learning to be able to give of ourselves to others without thought of return. That's really what we want to have. We want to have that love for people around us and for our families. And we can't get it in ourselves, but he can give that to us as we become filled with his Spirit. But as well, we understand, thirdly, that with his fullness comes the likeness of Christ. There's a book written many years ago called The Imitation of Christ. And I actually have the book, and there's a lot of different good thoughts in it. But it's something that we really want to understand, is that we're not trying to imitate Christ. That we're not trying to pretend to be like Him. Because if we try to do that in our own strength and our own power, we're going to give a very poor imitation. And that's the thing is that's not what God wants for us to try to do, because it would just be an exercise in futility. Instead, He wants it to be where Christ Himself is in us. That Christ, verse 17, dwells in our hearts by faith. And that as He dwells there and starts to manifest Himself through us, that it isn't us trying to imitate Christ, it's Christ showing Himself in our lives to other people. That says we decrease, He increases. That we stop saying, I want my way. We say, no, I want to yield to God's way. And as we do that, as we crucify ourselves, then His life starts to form within us. And people start to see Christ manifested in us. And as that happens, it's really the key to our fruitfulness. Because if we try to help people, what can we do? What do we have to offer? But when they see Christ in us, they see His love, the lives that we touch then are forever changed. Not by what we did, but by what Christ is doing through us. And that's what we really want to discover. It's just what God wants to do in us. And so much as our lives, as we kind of stay in this very small part of what God wants for us and think, well, I have to just try to struggle along in my own strength, do this in my own power, and just try to do the best I can and hope that God will be happy with it at the end. That no, He wants to give us everything we need so that it isn't us struggling and fighting and just trying harder and harder. It's instead where we yield to Him and we find Him doing that work in us because He's filled us. And it is just such a blessing to learn of that and to experience that. And that's what He wants to share with us. And so it is a challenge to all of us as believers that as we think back on what we've gone through this over the course of this year, of what we've studied, and of course thinking of the year soon to come, we want to realize that God is doing a work in each of our hearts. And it's something that a lot of times we're totally oblivious to what He was trying to do. And sometimes we'd even react against it and be upset. But when we actually get into God's Word, we find, okay, these things are happening for a reason, and it's because God's trying to help us. And there is a necessary process that we have to go because He's preparing us for something. And that's actually, for the next year, is really what the theme of next year is going to be, is what He's preparing us for. But for now, we want to realize that this is something that we have to undergo. And it's for our good, it's for His glory. And we have to learn to submit to it, to surrender to it, and allow God to work. And He wants to do this work in our heart, and we have to learn to be able to just yield and say, Lord, I give You my heart with all the problems that it has, and I put it in Your hands, and if You can do something with it, then it'll all be to Your glory. And we find as we do that, that He starts to do a work, and different things that were struggles for us for years end up falling by the wayside. And things that we could never do before, we find ourselves being able to do. And it's as our hearts become filled with His Spirit, we experience His power, we experience His love, we become conformed to His image, and Christ lives His life through us, that's when we then experience the abundant, fruitful life that He desires for us all. Let's pray. Dear Father, we just thank You for Your Spirit that You've given unto us, Lord. We just pray You would help us to realize just all that You have for us. Help us to stop fighting You, but instead to yield to Your work. And Lord, we just pray You'd use us to be a help and a blessing to our families, to those around us that are struggling. And just, Lord, we know that There's not much we can do in our own strength and power, but with you living through us, we can do great things. We just ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen. So let's turn to one last hymn before we conclude.